It's been the Lord's house this morning, isn't it?
Amen, brother.
Amen. I thank God for the blessing I've already received in being here. And hope everybody has had a good week. Hope God blessed you. And,
amen.
I'm looking forward to a blessing today. I don't ever want to get to a place in time where when I come into God's house and I don't look for a blessing. I mean, if you don't look for a blessing, you ain't going to receive it. So, I mean, we just as well to come in here looking for something. I mean, you got to be looking for something. You're either coming in here looking for a blessing, or you're looking for an ease of conscience, or you're looking for a fulfillment of routine. But one way or the other, you're looking for something. I just so look for a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. I get routine fulfilled all week long. And I get an ease of conscience. I can do that at home. I don't need to do that when I come to church. Amen? All right. I'm going to hurry the cue sing up so I can get it. So I can preach. Y'all pray for my voice this morning. All right. Luke chapter 17 this morning, if you got your Bible, and you want to go with me. I'm in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. When you find it, if you will, please stand and honor the reading of God's Word. We're not going to... not going to read but one verse of Scripture. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read verse 5. Luke 17, verse 5. Very short verse, very simple, very easy message this morning. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful, we're thankful for the chance to be in your house. And we pray this morning that you might bless this message. All that you've laid upon my heart, I pray to be honoring and glorifying unto thee. That everything that's done, Lord, might bring you praise. That we may be drawn nearer unto thee. And Father, that you get the glory out of our lives. We love you and I thank you and give you my praise and ask for your guidance and direction. For it is in your name and for your sake I humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to preach to you this morning about a walk of faith. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And in the Word of God, there's 231 different verses in the Word of God that mentions faith, and the word faith itself is mentioned 247 times throughout the entire Bible. And, of course, you've got Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great faith chapter. I've always heard it called the roll call of the heroes of the faith, is what I've always heard that chapter called. And all these different things about this book of faith. And, of course, faith is what we are based upon. It's what we're founded upon. And by faith, a man believes in his heart on Jesus Christ and he's received unto salvation. Thank God for that.
Amen.
And it took me by faith coming to him and kneeling before him and calling out to him. And by faith, I did that. And then he fulfilled his own promise. And he said, and anybody that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. He said, I'll never turn my back. I'll never leave or forsake him. He said, anybody that comes to me prostrate and laid out at my feet, he said, I'll not turn him away. I'll receive everyone.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. But it all began in one place. It began at a measure of faith.
Right.
It began at a point of faith. And this morning I want to preach to you about a walk of faith. Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, in verse 3, Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Yet, brother and sister, the salvation of your soul is not where faith is stopped, but that's where faith needs to be increased. Look at what he says there in our text in chapter 17 of Luke in verse 5. The apostles here believed on him, and then here they are asking him to increase our faith. You know, brother and sister, a lot of times the faith is a grain of mustard seed. It's according to the Word of God, it'll move mountains. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the faith that it takes for you to accept Jesus Christ is not faith that has become that was brought up by you. According to where we just were in Romans chapter 12, that faith was a measure of faith that He gives to every man, saved and lost.
Amen.
But after that, it comes a time when the Christian has to learn how to increase their own faith and how to grow stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might and not of their own. Excuse me, to put their faith and their trust in Him and in His truth and in His power and to rely on Him as their help.
Amen.
But it's not for us to try to do things of our own. Why? Because then your faith doesn't increase. You need an increase of faith. I know. Y'all pray for me this morning.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm fighting this old mess and I feels like the more... I tell you, church, I've been praying about this and last night as I was going through it, the devil was doing everything he could to try to get me in between me and this message. And I had this message right on my heart sometime earlier in the week. And as I was praying, I was studying and everything. Of course, the next thing happens, I start coughing every night. I can't get no sleep much because I'm coughing all night long. And I can't stand up and talk very much. And then last night as I was getting everything into my computer and getting it all down in my computer, I reached over and I hit one button. And I had been going for about an hour or 45 minutes or something like that. And had been studying and going nonstop and all of that. And then next thing I know, one little touch of one little button and I lost everything that I had done. And I thought to myself, why did I lose it? Because I didn't save it. You know, sometimes you can't beat an old-fashioned pen and paper.
Right. Amen.
But, you know, again, we've been brought up in this selfie generation, this technological generation where we're above having to get a pen and paper out and write something down. No, what do we do now? We'll get our phone out and we'll get the app that's a notepad and we'll sit there and type it in and save it, and that's what we'll do. But I tell you, sometimes you just can't beat an old-fashioned pen and piece of paper. I mean, you can't.
Amen, brother.
But anyway, I'm telling you, everything the devil could do to get between me and this message this week, he did. And thanks be unto God by some perseverance, a lot of prayer, and a lot of grace. Man, here we are this morning. And by God's help, I want to preach to you about the walk of faith and increase faith, brother and sister. It means to have more hope. He tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, not boasting of things without measure, without our measure. He said, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Increased faith means an increased hope. When a faith is increased, it makes a soul homesick for heaven. When faith is increased, it makes a soul long for home and long for the presence of God. When faith is increased, it's a desire to make more fellowship. When faith is increased, it's a desire to be closer not just to God, but to the others who believe the same way we do. And when faith is increased, brother, it increases a desire for God's Word itself to the point where Sunday morning, Sunday night, we should not just ain't enough.
Right.
And we've got to have it all day, every day.
Right.
Faith. You can take what God's given you and you use the talent God gives you for His honor and glory. It's what is that? That's an increase of faith.
Yeah.
That's an increase of faith. Then it's increased and you want to go to heaven. And that's all your desire is for Him to return. But until He returns, we've all got a walk of faith. Now, some people have certain walks, certain ways of walking that suits them, and other people have got others. Yet when it comes time to make that walk of faith, it's the walk itself that's important. It's not about how you're walking, it's just are you walking. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Thank you. You reminded me of that for 2 weeks now. Amen. It ain't about how you walk, it's are you walking. Right. I heard an old black preacher one time, he preached a message and he said, the question is not when did you start, the question is you on the job?
Right. Right.
It ain't a matter of when did you start, it's a matter of are you on the job? My brother, I said that one time, my brother said, so does that mean I start whenever I want as long as I get there? No. You know, people have a way that they walk, yet in this life, the walk of faith is one that you can't go without and expect to make it out of this life with any joy.
Amen.
You know, the Bible Bible talks about, Paul said that he was going through all the stuff. He said, if our faith is in vain and Christ didn't really resurrect and he didn't really do this, he did that. He said, if all I had of that is salvation, I'd be above all. He said, I'd be of all men most miserable. But because my faith is soundly founded and because it's in something that's true and right and good, I can have my faith increased, and through the increase of my faith, I can make it out of this world and be happy and joyous as I go, despite the faults, despite my failures, despite how I trip and fall short every day, might I add. But also, I can go through it with joy and happiness during the tribulations, during right. the trials,
Amen.
During the tests of my faith. And
Amen.
All these things that I go through, I might have to go through it, and I may have to bear through it and lower my shoulder and try to push through it. But by my faith's increase in His mercy and grace, I can do it with a smile on my face and some joy in my heart.
Amen.
It may be hard to do, but I can do it.
Amen, bro.
You can do it. But it takes an increase of faith. That's right. Now, don't you tell that baby to be quiet. I may not get no more amens than that. Out of the vows of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise.
Amen, Amen, brother.
Amen. Say it. Amen. Say amen. I ain't going to talk now. You may be the center of attention. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Even our faith. You ain't going to have faith, you ain't going to overcome.
Right.
You're going to have faith. You're going to be brought under the power of all. Paul talked about those sins that so easily beset us. And Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Why? Because I have faith. He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you'll move a mountain.
Yeah.
He said, you say to the, he said in another gospel, which I think we're going to cover here in just a minute, but he said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he said, you say to the sycamore tree, get thou rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it'll be so.
Yeah.
I right. thought about that, and I thought, man, how in the world can somebody believe that just a little bit of faith the size? Have you ever seen a mustard seed?
Yeah.
Somebody sent me one. I got a little thing. We went to somewhere, I don't even remember where we went, some Christian place, and they had a bunch of different, it might have been, oh, I know where it was Dalton's bookstore over in Franklin. And we went over there, and I was piddling around, and they had these little old baskets, this little marble cube glass things, and as I got it out, and I was looking at it, I got to noticing there was something in there, and then on the paper it said, a mustard seed. And I got to looking at that thing, and I thought, man, if that thing wasn't inside that little encapsulated thing, I could do okay, and I would never find it again. As small as that thing is, he said, if you got a faith the size of that right there, and I got to thinking, and I walked out of the store, and of course, you walk out of the store and look right up towards 64, you know, and here Yellow Mountain is, and here Cold Mountain off in the background, and over there's, you know, Buck Creek and all these mountains, and I thought to myself, my faith, if it was just that big, I could look up there and tell Buck Creek or Yellow Mountain or any of them, get thou up and be removed into the sea that's about 10 hours away from here, and he said it would be so and done.
Right.
And I thought, my faith is so small. How small is my faith that I can't do that, and it ain't no bigger than that?
Amen, brother.
So, by the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach to you about some walks of faith. The first one I want to talk to you about, if you want to go over to Genesis chapter 5, I'm not going to turn there. I've done my best. I've been trying to do a lot of memorization. That's something I've been doing and trying to train my brain for. I've had it on my heart that what happens if God tarries and time keeps going and the Lord doesn't come back and something happens and they take my Bible away from me. How in the world am I going to preach if I ain't got the Word of God there and I ain't spent my time memorizing like I ought to be a memorizer? So y'all pray for me. I've been trying to do some memorization and trying to get some things going. But in Genesis chapter 5 there, and you're going to start reading, I think it's down there, we're at about 22. Yeah, if you get down there in Genesis chapter 5 and you get down there around verse 22, you're going to read about Enoch. And it said that Enoch lived after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah about 300 years. And then you're going to get out there about verse 24, and it'll say, and Enoch walked with God, and it says, and he was not, for God took him.
Yeah.
What is that? That's walking by faith. Walking by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God's salvation. All that believe, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then he tells you, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Why was Enoch translated? Why was he taken? Why was he? Because he walked with God. Amen.
Amen.
That's why he was taken. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was don't rise. Why? There's no explanation given as to why it was that God took Enoch and translated him up there to be with him. I heard this guy one time, he was preaching, and he was saying there's no way of knowing why Enoch was translated, why Enoch was taken. And this little boy come up to him after the service, and he said, "Preacher, I think I might know why." And the preacher said, "Why is that?" He said, "Maybe he just wanted him to be up there with him."
Amen. Amen.
Right.
I mean, how simple. Maybe he enjoyed the fact that Enoch walked with him so much that he just wanted to make it a permanent thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe Enoch, I mean, it said in verse 22 there of chapter 5 of Genesis, it says that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And there ain't no telling how old he was when he begat Methuselah. I mean, come on, 300, 400, 500-year-old man out there walking with God. I don't imagine he's getting around too quick. The Lord might have said, "You know what? I'm going to get you up here where you're in a place where there's no pain and no aches and no problems, and I'm going to walk with you like we've walked years gone by. I'm going to just go ahead and take care of that."
Amen.
What is that? That's walking by faith.
Amen.
Enoch was a just man. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says, by faith, there's the heroes of the faith chapter. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
That's why it was a walk by faith. Walking by faith means to walk beside faith itself, brother and sister. That's why the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith and not by sight. To
right.
have a good personal fellowship with Jesus Christ is what we're talking about here.
Amen.
No, you're not just a walk by faith. We're talking by. It's not just walk by faith. Is that's what we walk in, and that's what we have, and that's how we believe. But we're talking walk by faith. Walk side by side with it, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Therefore, we walk side by side with Jesus Christ in fellowship, and we are walking by faith. Amen. Not just in faith, not just by faith is that we believe, but we're walking by faith as in beside it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a walking by faith. All throughout the Hebrews chapter 11, you read, by faith, by faith, by faith, by fact. In fact, go ahead and turn over there. Just go ahead and turn over there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Good chapter. It all starts there. Of course, he tells you in verse 1, he says, faith is substance things hoped for, evidence things not seen. But then you get out there in verse 4, and it starts, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Obtained witness. He did that by faith. Why? Because he didn't go in what he had done. He took something God had made. And that's what he offered. Because nothing he could have done would have been good enough. How do you do that? By faith. And then he tells you in 5 that Enoch, by faith, we done read that, should not see death, was found not, because God translated him before his translation. And he had a testimony, what? That he pleased God.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and tells you that by faith, in verse 7, Noah, being warned of things, and turned around and built an ark to the saving of his house. How did he do that? By faith.
Amen.
You know what faith will make you do, beloved? But walking by faith will make you prepare yourself for the storms are coming. Walking by faith will make you walk in a way that will please God. Walking by faith will make you offer things to God that He's given you and not things that you've done. It'll make you rely on His righteousness and not your own righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
Walking by faith. Increase my faith, Lord. That's what the apostles say. Apostles, Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because it's so small. Because I get so contented on trying to do the best I can and being content that that's enough.
Yeah. Amen.
That's my problem.
Amen.
My problem is I say, well, I'm giving it my best. I get an A for effort. I grade myself an A for effort. When God's sitting up here going, I didn't think it was your thoughts that mattered. It was supposed to be my opinion.
Right.
Is it not my opinion that matters over yours? No, Lord, it's mine. And I give myself an A for effort. That's not walking by faith.
Right, brother.
These men didn't get on this honorable roll because of what they did. It's because of who they... I mean, it ain't because of what they did. What they do, they simply believed God. That's what he says about Abraham over here. By faith, verse 8, Abraham was called to go to a place he should receive after inheritance, and he obeyed, went out, knowing not. And then, of course, you read about, by faith, he took Isaac up on the mountain and was going to offer him as a sacrifice. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. These men were great men of faith, but they didn't get on this roll because of something that they did. They got on this roll because of who they walked with.
Amen.
People all the time make the mistake of saying, we need some more Apostle Pauls. We need some more John the Baptists. We need some more Peters. We need some more this and that and the other. No, let me tell you, the God that made them great is the same God that I serve.
Amen.
And if I would simply obey and submit myself to Him the way they submitted themselves to Him, then I might have some power with God like they had.
Amen.
There ain't nothing stopping that from happening but my faith.
Amen.
Lord, increase my faith. My faith is so small. That's why my fellowship is limited. You know, oftentimes, how many times, and just think about this, you think about how many times that you go to the Lord in prayer over something that's bad, over something that's on your heart. You go to the Lord in prayer over a situation in your life, and how many times have you went to the Lord in prayer, and in the back of your mind, you had this thought of, He's not going to answer this. He will not. He's not going to answer this. But I'm obligated to ask anyway. You just want to keep that breath in your hypocritical mouth.
Right, brother.
There wouldn't be no need for me to ask God of anything if I didn't believe He could do it.
Right. Right.
Amen. What is that? That's a walk of faith.
Amen.
Walking by faith. Walking by faith helps me to do what I'm supposed to do. Helps me to have fellowship with God. That's walking by faith. But then I want to tell you this, come Daniel chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about walking in faith. Talk about walking by faith. Now we're going to talk about walking in faith. You ought to know where we're going. Daniel chapter 3. And in Daniel chapter 3, you're going to get down there around verse 16. And what you're going to read is this. You're going to read about the Bible saying that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tell the king, they say, be it known to thee, O king, that the God we serve is able to deliver us. But then they go on down there a little further and they say, even if He's not able to deliver us, be it known that we're still not going back.
Amen.
And of course, on further down, he tells you down there somewhere around verse 20, I think, where he's talking about it says that his countenance was changed, he was wroth, and because his command was so urgent, they heated the furnace seven times more hot than it was wont to be heated. And because his request and the command was so urgent, the men that throwed him in was killed in the blaze.
Yeah. Right.
But we're talking about walking in faith. You know, sometimes walking in faith means going into the furnace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oftentimes, walking in faith means you have to go into the furnace. But I'll tell you what that'll do. It'll produce boldness without fear of what man can do to you. Mm-hmm. And you'll be glad to walk into the furnace.
Amen.
He says in Hebrews 13:5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What is that? Walking in faith. It makes it easier to go into the furnace because of who's waiting for you inside.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's a little bit of a comfort whenever you know you're fixing to go in the furnace, but you already know who's in there.
Amen.
When I was a little boy and I was going to some friend's house, or if I was going to a little party thing or something as a little boy, if I looked in the door and I didn't see nobody I know, I was reluctant to go inside. But if I walked inside and I saw somebody that I knew, one of my little friends or my little buddies, I walked right in, but I beeline it for them.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anybody else and I didn't want to be around nobody else. I was going to go be with that person I knew. And that's the way I was as a little kid. You know, sometimes, the Bible tells us that if we don't come to Him in a childlike faith, there's that word again, a childlike faith, that's how you get saved. You come to Him in a childlike faith.
Amen.
And that's how you go to Him. And sometimes when you have to go into the furnace, that's the way you have to go to Him.
Yeah.
Like what? Like a little child walking into a place where you don't know where you're at, you don't know anybody that's in there, but you know when you walk in, you look over and there He stands.
Amen.
And you're like, there He is, I know Him. And you make a beeline for Him. What is that? That's walking in faith.
Yeah.
I ain't worried about why I got put in here. All I know is I know who's in there.
Yeah.
And if it means I stay out here and stay safer, I go in there and I'm close to Him, I'd rather go in there and be with Him.
Amen.
But it's a fire. Yeah, it is. But salvation of my soul and blood atonement on me doesn't let fire touch me. Amen.
Amen.
It can't touch me.
That's right.
David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Amen.
He said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Behold, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I love that. What is that? That's walking in faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
You walk by faith, you have fellowship. You walk in faith, you walk without fear. The Bible says God's not giving us a spirit of fear.
Right.
He ain't giving us a spirit of fear. I want to say this too. Even if the furnace is one of our own making. Amen. Even if the furnace is one of our own making. It's hard to imagine that walking into the furnace is walking in faith. But Peter tells you in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. You know, sometimes you never do understand it or know sometimes, but oftentimes the trial that you go into and the furnace that you have to go into is sometimes one of your own making.
Right.
It ain't always a trial of faith that's going to be a trying to you to make you come out to be better than what you went in. Sometimes it's going to be one that ends up putting you in a place where you're having to pay for something you've done. Sometimes that's the case. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you just as willing to go into the fire, into the furnace? Are you just as willing to go into the furnace of payment, of reaping what you sow, as you are as willing? Are you as willing to do that as you are to go into the furnace of trial by fire for His honor and glory? You know, oftentimes we're a lot more willing to go into the fire where we're being tried so that we can be made into something better for Him, as opposed to going into the fire where we're being tried. Parker, I'm going to trip over you in a minute. You ain't bothering me, but I don't want to trip over you. But the trial by faith is one that I can be made into something better for His honor and glory.
Amen.
I'm more willing to go into that furnace as I am to go into the one that I've made where I'm having to reap what I sowed.
Amen, brother.
You know it? And I'm being honest with you. Oftentimes, brother, sister, I'm guilty as anybody else, but oftentimes I get to a place where I'll go through things and I'll do things I ought not to do, knowing they're wrong, and then when it comes time to pay the piper, so to speak, I go to praying for a crop failure.
Amen.
And I can't pray for a crop failure whenever I've done and did the things I've done.
That's right.
Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. This is walking in faith. Paul said, though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. It profit me nothing. He said, I can walk in faith and walk into that furnace all I want to. He said, but if I don't do it in faith and I don't do it looking for Him in the fire, he said, it makes me absolutely no good. And he said, I can give my body to be burned. He said, but if I don't have charity, he said, it profits me nothing. You know, charity isn't always... The charity that they're talking about is not charity that's towards other people and towards your fellow man. Oftentimes that fellowship and that charity is towards the Lord Himself.
Right.
We don't love God like we ought to sometimes.
Amen, bro.
Sometimes we don't give God glory like we should sometimes.
Amen.
Enoch walked with God and was not. He walked by faith. Sometimes we don't fellowship with God like we ought to sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes when He says, I want to make something of you, but you're going to have to go into this furnace, we say, Lord, I'm not ready to go into that yet. I'm not ready for that just yet. I'm not ready. It's a walk of faith. We're walking in faith. But then I want to take you over, if you will, real quick to Matthew in chapter 14. I'm going to try to hurry. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to talk about walking on faith. We walk by faith. We've walked in faith. Now I want to walk on faith. You get over in Matthew chapter 14, you look down there around verse 25, and what you're going to read about is you're going to read that it was about the fourth watch of the night. The disciples were out on the sea, and it says that they come. The Lord came to them walking on the water, and says they were afraid because they thought, well, they just right off, they said they feared He was a spirit. They thought He was a spook. He said to them, be not afraid, it is I, be of good comfort. And they turn around, and Peter, old Peter, he says, Lord, if it be Thee, bid me come to Thee on the water.
Yeah.
He says, come. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water, and says he looked around, and when he saw the storm and the sea, and he saw everything was boisterous, he says he turned around, and he looked at the things that were going on around him, and began to sink, and when he did, he threw his hand up, and he cried, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Lord, save me. The Bible says he reached out and he caught him and said, oh, you little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, I want to talk about walking on faith. Walking on faith sometimes means getting out of the safety of the boat. Sometimes it means getting out of the bubble that we've lived in for however many years we've been saved. You know what's wonderful about faith in Christ for salvation is it didn't cost me anything.
That's right. Amen.
It didn't cost me anything. But faith to be able to walk with Him in fellowship, faith to be able to go into a furnace with Him when I have to, and faith to step out of the safety of the boat into a unfamiliar territory, that's faith that I have to be able to do.
Amen.
That's faith I have to be willing to step in and do. That's not something that He's just going to magically give me. Doing what you've never done before outside your comfort zone. Boy, that's something hard to do. Especially, I found that especially around here. That's especially difficult around here. People around here, old country people, we're just old country folks. And I'm backwards. I don't know about y'all, but I'm backwards. And I'm bashful. And I'm shy. And I have a hard time meeting folks. I have a hard time just meeting folks. But I want to tell you something. It's got to be a time of faith. It's a step of faith. When I'm like, I don't like being, I mean, I like being where I am. I like where I'm uncomfortable. Nobody asks nothing of me. But I like being where I am. But I want something more.
Amen.
I want something more. And so what do? You got to step out of the boat.
Right, amen.
And you got to walk on the water.
Yeah.
You ever walked on the water? I physically know. There's this lizard I saw on the television one time. Me and Heather like to watch National Geographic. We love watching National Geographic. Or Animal Planet, whichever one of them. And they had this lizard on there. And they called him the Jesus lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see him?
Yeah.
He'll get in the water. He's amphibian, so he's in the water, and he'll be like a frog or an alligator, and he'll be in the water, and the only thing above the water is his head. But then all of a sudden, he'll start kicking and doing like this, and before you know it, he's up on top of the water, and he's moving so fast, he's skipping across the top of the water. They call him the Jesus lizard. I thought, now they'll give a lizard a name Jesus lizard because he walks on water, but they won't believe in him anyway. It's a step of faith to get out of the boat. That's why I asked you, have you ever walked on the water? I ain't talking about physically. We'll do that physically one day. One day this body that's going to put off the old body and the old flesh is going to be gone, and that new glorified body I'm going to get, if I want to step out in the middle of the Atlantic, buddy, I'm going to step right on it.
Amen.
I'm going to walk right across it if I want to. But I want to ask you this morning, spiritually, you ever walked on the water? You ever had a time in your life where you had a place of discomfort and something you wasn't familiar with, but you knew God was leading in that direction, and you knew that if you didn't do this, it would be against God's will, and you'd be disobeying Him, and by faith you stepped. And you know what was funny is when your foot hit the ground, there was a minute of, I can't believe I just did that, but then there's, oh, but it's okay.
Right. Amen.
You realize that what you thought was going to end up being a flop and a mess up, or you was worried about saying the wrong thing, ended up being He held you up and He said, don't worry, you're in my hands anyway.
Amen.
A step of faith. You're taking a step out into the unknown, but the thing is, your eyes are not fixed on the storm. Your eyes have got to be fixed on the master of the sea.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
The storm is just a result of the sea and the atmosphere. The storm is not something to be feared. Thunder and lightning is not what I should be afraid of. You know what's? You know they talk about going through a storm, and we liken the Christian life sometimes to going through a storm. But you know, when we think storm, we think rain, thunder, lightning. You know what we never really consider? That in the storm, in a ship on the sea, the real damage does not come from thunder and lightning and rain. What does it come from? It comes from the waves. But the waves weren't generated by anything but the storm. But the waves are the things that are doing the damage. That's why I like what the Lord said when He got down there in the bottom of the boat and He was sleeping and the storm came up and they come out, "Don't you care? We perish." And He said, He got up and He walked out there and He was a master of the sea. Peace be still. Right there where you are in Matthew chapter 14, I think it is, you get down there around 32. Is that where it is? 32, where it says that him and Peter got back in the boat and the sea was calm. You know, when you get hand in hand with Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. When Peter sunk down in that water and he stuck his arm out and cried, "God, or Lord, save me," the Lord wasn't standing there. You know, Peter didn't care if he was outside the boat. He just wanted to be close to the Lord. But what the Lord didn't do is the Lord didn't say, "Hey, Peter." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water." And the Lord didn't say, "Now hold on, Peter. Just wait a minute there, pal. I'm supernatural and you're not. Give me just a minute and I'll come get in the boat with you." No, he didn't do that. Why? Because it was a step of faith to get out of the boat.
Right.
If he just came to you and me in the places that we were comfortable, we'd never get anywhere.
Right.
We'd never grow.
Amen.
The only thing we'd ever know of our lives as Christians would be inside the boat. Right. Sometimes people jump on Zion's lifeboat and they don't ever get home. They're afraid they're going to lose their seat or something. I've got to tell you, you ain't going to lose your seat. But sometimes the Lord wants you to get up out of your seat and get up and try to walk on the water.
Yeah. Amen.
What is that? That's walking on faith. Knowing that every step you make is ordered by the Lord. Isn't that what Scripture says?
Right.
It said every step is ordered by the Lord. Walking on faith. You know, there wasn't no way. He said, and I thought about that. I thought about that for a minute, about Peter going out on the water. Why the Lord didn't just say, "Hey man, just hang on, I'll come over to you. You know, that's kind of stormy out here. It's kind of rough out here. You don't want to trip. You don't want to fall. I don't want you to get knocked over. Just hang on a minute and I'll come over and get in the boat with you." But if he'd have done that, he'd have went to a place where everybody was comfortable. Everybody was used to everything being the way it was. And everything was just kind of happy-go-lucky. And everything was routine. And, you know, there's another man on the boat. Okay, that don't matter. Still got to trim the sails. Still got to make sure the helm's turned in the right direction. Still got to make sure the bow of the ship stays pointed into the north wind. And it's all routine. Kind of like Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We want God to just come in here and jump on the boat. We want it to be routine.
Amen.
When once in a while the Lord steps out there on the water and He says, "Who's willing to come out here with me?"
Amen. Yeah.
Peter said, "Lord, bid me come to thee on the water." The Lord didn't say, "Peter, you need to just stay in the boat where you're safe." He gave him one word. Come. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." It don't matter what shape you're in. It doesn't matter what kind of position you're in or where you're at spiritually. It makes no difference. He gave the invitation to all. Come. Anybody that's willing, let whosoever will come. He said, if you want to come, get out of the boat, take a step of faith, come.
Right.
Come. Even when Peter got to worrying about the storm going on around him and began to sink and he cried, "Lord, save me," Jesus didn't look at him and say, "Well, now Peter, just, wait, Peter, just tread water for a minute and look at me." You know, Peter's over here sinking and I can kind of see it being kind of slow. It's not just like, you know, he's standing there and all of a sudden he looks around, boom, she's gone, you know. I don't see it being like that. In my eyes, I could see it just kind of, he's out there walking, he's looking around, and all of a sudden, his feet kind of give, and he's just kind of, Lord, save me, like quicksand or something. That's kind of how I see it in my mind's eye. Lord, save me, and the Lord not said, Peter, look, right here, look at me, Peter, look. No, he didn't do that. Peter was worried and afraid and scared. He throws his hands out, God, save me. He reaches out and catches me. Pulls him onto his feet. And as Peter gets on his feet, then his eyes are locked with the Lord's again. Why? Because he's in contact. And he says, where was your faith? You were walking on faith until you got to worrying about what was going on around you. You got to worrying about the storm. I like that old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Amen.
I trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Amen.
On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You got to walk on faith. My faith is so small. Lord, my faith is so small. Still, I want to be close to you, but I'm afraid of the storm. Yet he still looks at me. He doesn't say, it's okay. I'm moving up on him. He says, come. He doesn't say, do this or do that. He says the same thing to each one of them. He says, come.
Amen.
Lord, I want to come to you. Come. But Lord, the storm. Come. But Lord, I don't want to. I might fall. Come. That's all he says. Come.
Amen.
And there's only one or two options. Come or don't. But it's a step of faith. And then lastly, I will say this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. How many quotes? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you're going to get down there around about verse 10 or verse 7 to 10. And you're going to read about the Apostle Paul where he said that the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. He said the messenger Satan to buffet me. He said, and I besought the Lord thrice to remove it, and he wouldn't. But what did he say in verse 9? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in weakness my strength is made perfect. And Paul said, most gladly therefore I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then what did he say in verse 10? He said, how does it go? I take pleasure in my infirmities. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What is that? That's walking through faith. That regardless of the hand you've been dealt and what you have to live through and do and go through, you go through it because it's what He wants you to do.
Amen.
That's walking through faith.
Amen.
Walking through faith. Paul was a man who was convinced that as long as he had the Lord, that was enough. He didn't have to have anything else. There's no record of Paul having a wife or children. Nothing. Why? Because Paul was convinced that the Lord was enough. He was enough. He didn't need anything else. What he lived with is what convinced him of that. You know, oftentimes, brother, sister, the thorns in our flesh that God gives us is what helps us to realize that we can walk through faith and that it increases our faith.
Amen.
What we have to walk through is what increases our faith. You know, the more trial, find that the more trial people go through, the more they look up.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more tribulation that people have to endure, the more they look up.
Right.
And sometimes the worse the pain, sometimes the sweet. Sometimes the worse the pain, sometimes the sweeter the fellowship.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a walk through faith. You can't do it by trying to sidestep the situation or walk around it. No. That's why David said, yea, though I walk, you can't go around it. You can't try to get out, you know, can't go under it, can't get around it. You sure ain't gonna step over it. Yea, though I walk, through. Sometimes you gotta go through.
Amen.
Walking through faith. This is usually where people try to step around. You know what people would rather do? People would rather just know that God's grace is sufficient rather than to have to learn that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Everybody sitting in here right now knows that the Bible says, but my grace is... I mean, you got your Bible open right there, 2 Corinthians, right? Right there in 2 Corinthians, where you're at? What does he say in verse, what is that, 9? Isn't that there? Big red letters too, man.
Yep.
But my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. He said, it's all you need.
Yeah.
If you're just willing to walk through faith. Just walk through. The lessons that stick with you are the ones that you go through and you learn that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Those are the lessons that you walk through that increase your faith. Why? Because you walk through. And when you walk through them, you learn, number one, His grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
And you learn, number two, that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Amen.
And it increases your faith. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. These are those situations, brother, that increase your faith like that are the ones where you are willing to get down on your knees and pray, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
It's not, Lord, do this. Lord, please do this. Lord, do this. It's, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
That's walking through faith.
Right.
Not my will, but thine be done. Paul says, I've learned it when I'm weak. That's when I'm the strongest, because it's not my higher power, it's His.
Yeah.
Some of the walks of faith are easier than others, and we can do some more than we can do others. But where people get confused is the fact that they say, I'm saved, so that means I have faith. No, we don't. God gave you a measure of faith to get saved with. And after that, it's up to you.
Amen.
The apostles said, increase our faith. They wanted Him to do it.
Yeah.
You know what He didn't do? He didn't snap their fingers and give them more faith. He taught them how to build their faith. He taught them how to increase their faith. You're here this morning, and that's one of these is spoken to you. You either walk by faith, you walk in faith, you walk on faith, you walk through faith. But you know one thing you'll never do? You'll never go and walk over faith. You'll never walk around faith.
Right.
You'll never do either of those. Your faith's got to grow. You're saved because of His mercy.
Amen.
Your faith has to grow because of you.
Amen.
Whether that's you're willing to go into the furnace, be in better fellowship, walk on the water, or just go through that thorn in the flesh. Whatever it is, when you're willing to do it, for His honor and His glory, because you want to be close to Him, that's when faith is increased. And that's where you see them. Let's bow our heads. Didn't bow an eye closed for just a few minutes. The Lord spoke to your heart. You need to come. I offer you this invitation to come. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, my faith is so small sometimes. My faith is so small sometimes. You remember what the leader of that leader, all those soldiers, that centurion leader, when he besought the Lord for his daughter, Jairus, the Lord said, believest thou? And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. There's plenty of belief, there's plenty of trust. But where's faith? He said, faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed would remove mountains. Lord, my faith is so small. Faith is so small. what he said. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith, we walk in fellowship. That's fellowship with God. We walk by faith, that's fellowship with God. We walk in faith, that means you're willing to go into the fire if you have to. Walk on faith, we're willing to step out and do something we aren't necessarily comfortable doing. But if it'll bring honor and glory to Him and it'll get me close to Him, because He's out there on the sea, He's the master of the sea, and I can get in better fellowship and I can get closer and I can be like Him. You know, there for just a minute, Peter and Jesus Christ shared a similar experience. No other disciple got to walk on the water. And that's what Peter, one of the great things Peter was known for. Of course, everybody tries to remember Peter for the denying of the Lord. But Peter was one of the only disciples that had enough faith to step out of the boat while the rest of them were back there in the boat. He was the only one who stepped out and said, "Lord, if it be Thee, bid me come to Thee on the water." He said, "I don't want you to come and get in the boat. That's easy. I want you to bid me come to Thee on the water." He looks at him, "Come. Come." He stretches out that arm to you today. "Lord, I want to step out. I want to be of more faith." He says, "Come. Come. Come." Sometimes. Sometimes we can't walk on faith. Sometimes we don't walk in it. And we always walk by faith because we always have fellowship with Him. But every once in a while, we have to walk through faith. We have to walk through faith. And that thorn in the flesh. Times when we seem like we're getting a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. It seems like the closer we get, He'll reach and get that thorn. Every once in a while, He'll reach and get that thorn and He'll turn it just a little bit. Just to remind you, it's still there. It's still there. I appreciate your attention this morning. I sure hope the Lord has blessed you. Boy, it's been good to be here today. And I thank God for what He's done. Don't forget, we've got service tonight, 6 o'clock. Come out and be with us. I've got